Thank you for getting up to worship with us. So glad you're here. Happy New Year. You know, I'm really, really proud of you for being here today for multiple reasons. But one reason is because you're starting off 2024 the right way. The first weekend of the year, you're in church. Way to go. In fact, I want to do something a little different right now. I want everybody to stand up. And I want you to congratulate everybody around you, maybe with high fives or whatever, say, hey, way to go, you're in church on the first weekend of the year. All right, you can be seated. It is the best way to start out the year right, putting God first. You know, before we get into the message, I wanted to say a couple of things about our Christmas Eve services 2 weekends ago. Thank you, first of all, many of you invited, like we asked you to, coworkers, neighbors, friends, relatives, all that. I know many of them ended up coming. We had larger than normal services for most of the services, which was great. But what was really great is we had 133 people come forward and make public commitments to begin following Jesus. So it's like, yay, God, 133 men, women, and children. I wanted to show you one picture of the altar during our 11 a.m. service. All those people coming forward to commit their life, to publicly commit their life to follow Christ. So it was, you know, it was just an amazing time. God was doing some amazing things. So, by the way, if you happen to be one of those 133 people and you committed your life to follow Jesus, you have a very important next step, and that's to be water baptized. And we're going to have a water baptism here 3 weekends from today. So what you need to do, take our water baptism class online, vineyardnorthphoenix.com, and then sign up to be water baptized. And hopefully 3 weekends from today, we'll be celebrating you being water baptized. Well, we're going to receive the offering now, so if the ushers want to come forward. And I just want to say, you know, I hope you're starting out 2024 the right way with your finances as well. You know, as followers of Jesus, we're to put God first in every area of our life. And part of that is with our finances, giving back to Him what the Bible calls a tithe, a 10%, at least 10% of all the income that God brings our way. And so if you're not doing that as a follower of Jesus, that's really something that you need to work up to. It's a big part of discipleship, is putting God first in our finances. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God's blessing on the offering. Let's also pray and open up our hearts and our minds to God and ask Him to speak to us out of the Bible today. Okay, would you pray with me? Lord, as we give back financially to You, whenever we do that, whether it's online or automated or right now, God, I pray that You would take our money and You would use it, God, to change people's lives, change our world, Lord, one life at a time. Bless our giving as we give it, but bless us, God, in being faithful to You with our finances. And now, Lord, as we worship You by studying Your word, I pray, Lord, that You would speak very clearly into every heart, every mind, those that are online, those that are here in person. God, whatever we need to hear from You, we open our hearts wide. We say, God, speak to me. And Lord, if there are things that I've not studied or prepared for this message, and yet there are things that You want me to communicate, then I pray that You drop those in my heart and mind as we go along, because we truly want to hear from You, Lord, not from me. So come and have Your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're starting a brand new series today called New Year, Fresh Start. I really want all of us to begin this year the right way. And I don't know about you, but for me, it seemed like 2023 just sort of flew by. Anybody else feel that way? Just flew by. And the older that I get, you know, my parents used to tell me this when I was young and I never believed them, but the older that I get, it just seems like the years are going by faster and faster and faster. But I want you to know, if you're an American with an average lifespan, and if I use the clock to show how many years you have left in your life, it would look like this. If you're 22 years old Right now, it's 6:20 a.m. 6:20 in the morning. Is it 6:20 or 8:20? Oh, I said the wrong thing. It's 8:20 in the morning. Death is at midnight. So if you're 22 years old, you have a lot of your life left. If you're 32 years old, which is about 5 years older than me, it's 11:20 in the morning, and you have 2,122 weeks left. If you're 42 years old, it's 3:20 in the afternoon. And if you're 52 years old, it's 6:20 in the evening, and you have 1,092 weeks left. Now, I could keep going, but the point is this. Whatever you're going to do with your life, you'd better get on it now, because time is running out. So what are you going to do with 2024? How will this year be any different? Well, the good news is, no matter what 2023 was like for you, today you get to start over. God brings us life in sort of bite-sized pieces. You know, in hours and days and weeks and months. And then every year, God says, let's wipe the slate clean and start over with a brand new year. That's what's happening right now. So how will 2024 be better than 2023? Well, I'll tell you what the major key is. The major key is that you have to have a plan. You can't just enter this year with the attitude, well, I sure hope this year's better than last year. No, if you don't have a plan, it's not going to be any better. Look at Proverbs 21, verse 5. It says this, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Now, for many of us, that last part sort of describes 2023. We were hasty in some of our decisions. We didn't have a plan. We didn't have an objective. We didn't have a target, something that we were aiming at. So again, do you have a plan for 2024? Have you set any goals for 2024? Or are you just walking in this year hoping it's going to be better? I mean, I want you to know, the old saying, you know this, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. So you have to have a plan, and I'm going to give you some ideas today for a plan. So how do you make the most out of 2024? I'm going to give you four things. First of all, I have to assume responsibility for my life. Assume responsibility for my life. Now, I know, that is not a popular concept these days. Now, in our culture today, the prevailing attitude sort of goes like this. None of the problems in my life are my fault. Everything bad in life is because of somebody else's fault. And we can blame the government, we can blame our teachers, we can blame our parents, we can blame our spouse if we're married. If we're not married and we're divorced, we can blame our ex-spouse, we can blame our kids, our boss, whatever. You know, if I get an accident of some kind, if I mess up in some way, you know, it's never my fault. It's always somebody else's fault. But I want you to know, you'll never be successful in life when you always blame other people. You have to take responsibility for your own life. Galatians 6 says, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Underline that part. For our own conduct. Now the fact is, you can't control the circumstances that are going to happen to you in the next 365 days. I don't know what's going to happen to me. You don't know what's going to happen to you. But you can control your actions and your reactions to those circumstances. So the first way of making 2024 better than 2023 is you say to yourself, okay, I can't control the circumstances that are going to happen to me over the next 365 days. But I can choose how I'm going to act and how I'm going to react to those circumstances. And that will make 2024 better than 2023. Now, statistics tell us that basically there are three kinds of people in life. There are accusers, excusers, and choosers. Accusers, excusers, and choosers. You say, what do you mean? Well, accusers are people who always blame everybody else for their problems. They're always accusing. They're always pointing the finger at somebody else. Their favorite phrase is, it's all your fault. And then there are excusers. Excusers always have a reason. They always have an excuse of why they're where they are in their life. And I've discovered that whenever I want to put off something, whenever I want to procrastinate about something, not do something, just about any excuse will do. You know, like it says in Proverbs 22, the lazy person claims, there's a lion out there. I can't go out there and work. I might get eaten by a lion. Any excuse will work. Now, accusers and excusers, people who blame others, and people who always have an excuse for themselves, almost always those kinds of people end up being losers in life. So what we need to do is we need to be choosers. That's the third type of people. And what choosers say is, I choose to assume responsibility for my own life. I choose the direction of my life. I'm choosing to accept responsibility for my own life. Now, if you do that, you're already a huge step ahead in 2024. All right, the second part of making the most of this year is, I have to believe I can change. In other words, stop saying I can't and start saying I can. Because the person who says I can and the person who says I can't are both right. You know, most of you know Paul's famous verse in Philippians 4:13, I can do, underline those two words, I can do all things through who? Through him, through Christ, who strengthens me. Do you really believe that verse? If you really believe that verse, then part of what that means is that there's nothing that you can't master with Christ helping you. That means there's nothing that's going to come my way in the next 365 days. No problem, no circumstance, no situation that I can't handle with Christ helping me. But the key to that verse, again, is to make sure that we're not trying to do this in our own strength. I need to be relying on the strength that Jesus gives me. So if you want 2024 to be better than 2023, then you need to start believing that God can make those changes in your life that you want to see made. Third part of making the most of 2024, I have to decide what's really important. Decide what's really important. You know, one of the greatest gifts that God has given us as human beings is the gift called the freedom to choose. The freedom to choose. Look at Job 34. It says, let us discern for ourselves what is right. Let us learn together what is good. Now, learn together what is good means that I really need to clarify what I want. I need to clarify what I want in life. And it's amazing that most people never do that. Most people never stop and really think through what's important to them. I would venture to say that many of you in this room, you've never done that. Many of you online, you've never done that. Well, I want you to know, you can't do what's important to you until you first figure out what's important to you. And if you don't figure out what's important to you, you're going to be pushed around by the pressures of life all the time. So if you want to make the most out of 2024, then I encourage you sometime this coming week to sit down for an hour or so and actually write out the things that you think are important to you. Write down, what do I value? And then write down, what do I want to change? What do I value? And what do I want to change? And one thing that will help you to do that is ask yourself this question. What's going to last? Because a lot of things are not going to last. They might be urgent, but they're not important. And there's a big difference. You know, I've been a pastor for a long time. And one of the downsides in certain ways of being a pastor is, you know, I've done a lot of funerals over the years. I've been at the bedside, I've talked to a lot of people who are sort of on their deathbed. And out of all the people that I've talked to who have been on their deathbed, not one time have I had somebody say to me something like, you know, Brian, as I look back over my life, man, I just wish I would have spent more time at the job site. Man, I just wish I would have spent more time at the office. I wish I would have made more money. I wish I would have bought a bigger house. Never once have I heard anybody say that. Now, I have heard people say things like, I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have gotten to know God better. I wish I would have grown in my character and my values more. I wish I would have done more things that would impact the kingdom of God in a positive way. So write down what's important to you sometime this week, and then make that part of your prayer list for 2024. All right, the fourth part of making the most of this year is don't wait to begin. Don't wait to begin. In fact, I want to give you three words that'll change your life. Do it now. Do it now. Say it out loud. Do it now. Turn to the person next to you and say that to them. Do it now. Now turn back the other way and say it back to them. Do it now. See, there's never going to be an ideal circumstance to start making that change in your life that you want to see made. There's never going to be an ideal circumstance to work on that relationship that you want to make better. Don't wait to begin. Do it now. I love this verse in Ecclesiastes. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. You know, one of the phrases that I hear a lot is the phrase, when things settle down. You ever said that? You ever thought about that? Well, you know, when things settle down. Well, I want you to know, they're not going to settle down. This is life. It's not going to settle down. And if you're using that excuse, you know, I'm going to start having a daily devotional time with God. I'm going to start having a quiet time with God, you know, when things settle down. It's not going to happen. If you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm going to start spending more time with my kids when things settle down. Well, you know what? Your kids are going to be grown and gone. And it's not going to happen. Well, we're going to start working on the romance in our marriage again. We're going to start putting that more first. You know, when things settle down. No, your love life's going to die on the vine if you wait for that. Whatever you're going to do, you have to do it now. Because things aren't going to settle down until you're in the coffin. So don't procrastinate things. Now, I found that one of the things that most people procrastinate is setting goals for their life. In fact, research shows that less than 5% of Americans, that's 1 out of 20, less than 5% of Americans have actually written goals for their life. And yet research also shows that those 5% who have written goals, they're the top 5% wage earners in our culture, and they're also the top 5% achievers in our culture. See, there's a correlation there. Why do they achieve so much? It's because they know what they want in life. They have goals. Now, as followers of Jesus, our ultimate goal is to become more like Jesus, right? Well, how did Jesus develop in his life? Well, Luke 2:52 gives us insight. It says this, and Jesus kept increasing in four areas: wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man. He developed in those four areas. Wisdom, you know what that is? That's intellectual development. Stature, what's that? That's physical development. Favor with God, what's that? That's spiritual development. And favor with man, what's that? That's social development. And so if we want to be well-rounded people, then we need to set at least one goal in each of those four areas. And whenever you set goals, they need to be what's called SMART goals. SMART is an acronym. All five of those letters stand for something. And whenever you set goals, it's really good to make sure that they fit in this acronym of SMART. So the S in SMART goals stands for simple. Simple. You need to be able to state your goal in one or two sentences at the most. A simple goal. Simple goals are goals that you can accomplish. Complex goals have no power. So they need to be simple. Second of all, and probably the most important in the SMART acronym, is the letter M stands for measurable. You need to be able to measure the goal. If you say to yourself, well, my goal is to get closer to God in 2024. Well, overall, that's a great goal, but there's no way to measure it. How do you know at the end of 2024 if you got closer to God or not? If that's your ultimate goal, then set some other goals that you can measure that will accomplish getting closer to God. For example, I'm going to memorize 20 Bible verses this year. That's measurable. And it will get you closer to God. I'm going to take the ministry training class in 2024. That's measurable. And it will help you get closer to God. I'm going to begin having a daily quiet time with God in 2024. That's measurable. Daily quiet time. That will help you get closer to God. Get what I'm saying? A lot of people have goals like, well, I'm going to be a better person in 2024. That's admirable. But there's no way to measure it. You have to set goals that are measurable. Every year, we've done this the entire run of the church. Every year, our pastors all set goals, not only for their life, but for their ministry areas. And one of the things that we always stress is, these goals have to be measurable. How do you know if you actually hit your goal if they're not measurable? So you need to think about all my goals. I need to write them in a way that I can measure them. All right, the A in SMART stands for attainable. If you can't attain the goal, meaning if you can't reach it, you're just going to get discouraged. That's what a lot of people do. So don't say something like, well, my goal this year is I'm going to pray for 3 hours every morning. Well, that is measurable, but you'll never attain it. And you're just going to give up, you know, after you've done it for like 2 days. All right, the R in SMART stands for relevant. Goals need to be relevant. That means they need to be based on your values and your priorities. Don't set goals that you think somebody else wants you to set. Well, I'm setting this goal because I think my spouse wants me to do that. No. I'm going to set this goal because one of my friends suggested I do this. No. You ought to say, what are the values that I really believe are important for me? And then set goals accordingly. And then the T in SMART stands for timeline. All goals need to have some sort of a timeline. 1 year is usually the right timeline, but it could be 1 month, could be 3 months, whatever, but they need to have a timeline. All right, now using this acronym, I encourage you to set a goal in the same four areas that Jesus developed in. So first of all, intellectual. He grew in wisdom. So ask yourself this question. What do I want to learn this year? See, God gave you a mind. And your mind is like a muscle. When you use a muscle, it gets stronger, right? If you don't use a muscle, it atrophies. It's the same thing with our minds. And one thing we do not want is an atrophied brain, right? So we have to use it. Look at Proverbs 19. To acquire wisdom is to love oneself. People who cherish understanding will prosper. You know, there are many leaders in this room. Many leaders watching online. I want you to know, all leaders are learners. The moment you stop learning is the moment you stop leading. So as a follower of Jesus, you have to constantly challenge yourself to grow, to develop intellectually. So think about, what do I want to learn in 2024? One thing that a lot of people do, and this will help if you want to do this, a lot of people set book reading goals for a year. You say, why is it important to set a book reading goal? Because like what Mark Twain says, the man who does not read great books has no advantage over the man who can't read at all. Man, we live in an age where there's information everywhere. If there's a lot of stuff, a lot of great podcasts that you can listen to. I'm not talking about the trivial drivel that's out there with podcasts. I'm talking about things that you can actually learn. I listen to podcasts all the time when I'm driving. I have about a 20, 25-minute drive to work. I listen to podcasts on the way here and usually on the way home. And I'm learning things that I want to learn about, things in the world, things in science, things in nature, whatever. Whatever you want to learn, there's an easy way to learn it these days if you really want to. You know, maybe you need to set an educational goal. You know, I want to take a class at GCC or GCU. I want to learn a skill, maybe a writing class. Maybe you want to get better in grammar. You take a grammar class. Maybe poetry. Maybe you learn a foreign language. So intellectual, that's one area. Second area is physical. Physical, so ask yourself this. What will improve my health this year? Do I need to lose some weight? Do I need to go to bed earlier? Do I need to get some sort of an exercise plan? Do I need to change my eating habits? Do I need to develop some kind of stress relief? You know, the Bible is full of health tips. Here's one. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. You know, some of us aren't joyful enough. For some of you, your goal for this year physically is you need to lighten up. You need to not be so serious. You need to have some more fun in your life. You need to realize that, you know, God wants you to enjoy life. Don't sweat the small stuff. And remember, with God, it's all small stuff. So physical. Third area to set goal in is spiritual. So ask yourself this. What will better develop my relationship with God in 2024? What will better develop my relationship with God? Look at Peter says, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did you notice that that's not like a suggestion? That's a command, isn't it? You must grow in Jesus. So you might ask yourself this question. What one thing would make the biggest difference in my relationship with God this year? Not 10 things, one thing. Or you might ask yourself, what's something spiritual that I know God wants me to do, but for whatever reason, I still haven't done it? For example, have you been water baptized? If not, why not? That's your next step. Have you started attending a small group? If not, why not? We're having our small group fair. All of our small groups are starting over right now. So you can get in on a group, a brand new group. So check out the small groups out in the lobby after the service. You know, are you tithing? If not, why not? Are you having a quiet time? If not, why not? You know, one thing that all followers of Jesus who are growing in their relationship with Christ have in common, there's one common denominator. I've never seen a follower of Jesus actually growing in their faith unless one thing's happening in their life. You know what it is? They're consistent in their church attendance. They're consistent in their church attendance. Now, that doesn't mean everybody who's consistent in their church attendance are growing. It just means people who are not consistent in their church attendance, they're not going to grow. You're just not. I'm telling you this as your pastor because I love you. There's something that God does when we gather together on a regular basis to worship God together, to learn together, to minister to one another, to serve one another. All of that is super important. And so for some of you, you need to make that one of your goals. I'm going to be consistent in 2024 in my church attendance. Now, consistent doesn't mean once every 8 weeks. Consistent, I would say, means at least 3 weeks a month, at least 3 out of 4, you know, to be consistent. So some of you need to set that as a goal. Maybe one of your goals needs to be, I want to become a member of Vineyard Church North Phoenix. Not just an attender, but a member. You say, well, Brian, what's the difference? Well, a member is a participant. We're locking arms together. We're doing something together, you know, for God and for his church. Whereas an attender is just, you know, they're just a spectator. They just come and spectate. So maybe you need to become a member. I mean, there are a million ways, a million things that you could do that would help you spiritually. Maybe a goal is to read the Bible all the way through this year, or read the New Testament all the way through. All right, fourth area to set a goal is social. And what I mean by that is ask yourself this: what will be my ministry to others in 2024? Because God doesn't want us to just think about ourselves. Peter says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, I know some of you freak out when you start hearing the word ministry or you hear the word service. Well, I'm not a minister. No. Anytime you help another person in any way, that's called ministry in the Bible. Anytime you help somebody else in some way, with either ideas, people, things, whatever, that's called service. That's called ministry. And God wants us all to be involved in some sort of ministry to other people. Now, I know some of you think, well, Brian, I want to serve God. I want to minister to God. I don't want to minister to other people. Well, the way you serve God is by serving others. So for some of you, this is going to be the year that you get off of the bench, so to speak, and you get into the game. You've been sitting on the sidelines for a long time, and now God wants you to get up off the sideline and actually into the game. So I encourage every one of you, set a goal in 2024 that you get involved in some sort of service, some sort of ministry. It could be children's ministry, could be youth ministry, could be serving in the coffee bar, campus security, be a greeter, an usher, maybe lead a small group, maybe host a small group, Be involved in our compassion ministry, our food bank, one of our compassion outreaches. I mean, there's a million things you could be involved in if you really wanted to. And then another area of ministry that I believe all of us should be involved in is the ministry of inviting other people to come into relationship with Jesus. Inviting people to know Jesus. And a big part of that is inviting people to come to the vineyard. Because you never know what might happen in their lives if they just come. We saw that 2 weeks ago. 133 people made public decisions to follow Jesus because somebody invited them. Well, we need to be doing that all the time. You know, you don't want somebody you love, a coworker, a neighbor, a friend, to stand before Jesus one day, and when Jesus says, "Why didn't you follow me?" their answer is, "Because my friend who was a follower of Jesus never told me about you and never invited me to church." No, we all need to be inviters. So look for ways to share your faith, invite people to church. So set goals in those four areas: intellectual, physical, spiritual, social. Now, I know some of you are thinking, "Well, Brian, I've tried this in the past. I've set goals in the past. I just don't follow through. I just can't seem to stick with it." Well, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's why we need to learn how to walk with Jesus moment by moment. Like Paul says in Ephesians 6, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." See, that's the difference between self-help books and Christianity. Self-help books oftentimes give us the right information, the right stuff we need to do, but they don't give us any power to actually do it. And so things like resolutions, they're not going to last more than a couple of weeks unless I have this verse under my belt: "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." See, that's the power to not only make commitments, but to also keep commitments. Now, again, I hear this all the time. Maybe you're feeling this way. "Well, Brian, I really want to do what's right, but I just can't seem to do it." You ever feel that way? "I really want to do what's right, but I just can't seem to do it." You know what I would say to you? Welcome to the human race. That's called our flesh. And we all have it. And that's part of what Jesus died for on the cross. Look at Paul says in Romans 6, "We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he'll never die again. Death no longer has any power over Jesus. When he died once to break the power of sin, but now that he lives for the glory of God." See, the cross has incredible power. And even most Christians don't really understand the power of the cross. You know, most Christians think that the power of the cross is simply the power to forgive my sins in the past. And that's true, but it's only partially true. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for at least three things. First of all, he paid the penalty for your sins in the past. That means I can be forgiven for my past sins. And that's great news, isn't it? And that would be enough if that's all there was. But it's not. The second thing that Jesus died on the cross for was to break the power of sin in the present. That means he gives us the ability to break the hurts, habits, and hang-ups that are messing us up. And then the third thing, Jesus paid so that one day I would be released from the presence of sin forever. That's called heaven or the new creation. There'll be no sin in the new creation. I will be freed from not only the penalty and the power of sin in my life, but I'll be freed from the presence of sin in my life permanently one day. That is the power of the cross. And the truth is, the only way that you and I are going to make the most of 2024 is by trying to rely on the power of the cross each and every day. Now, I want to say one last thing. I know a lot of you are thinking, "Man, Brian, this is a lot of information. This is really a lot of work. I don't really feel like doing that. I get it. So I'll leave you with this. Successful people do what most people don't feel like doing. It's up to us. What are we going to do with 2024? Is it going to just be, you know, go with the flow? Whatever shall be, shall be. Or am I going to set some goals and really try to accomplish some things this year? Would you pray with me? I would encourage you to close your eyes for a moment. You don't have to. There's nothing magic about that. But breaks, you know, keeps distractions out of your mind. Come, Holy Spirit. Have your way in every heart, every mind. Whether they're online or in person, I know that you've been working in people's hearts. You've been putting burdens on people. You've been giving people ideas. You've been giving people hope that they really can make the changes that they want to see made. And I pray that you give every person wisdom, Lord, on what kind of goals you're wanting them to set. And not only how to make those goals, but how to keep them. You know, for some of you right now, you're having ideas come into your mind. That's the Holy Spirit. He's putting those thoughts, he's putting those ideas. Shortly after you leave here, you need to write those things down. Don't forget them. They're from the Lord. And then sometime this week, sit down and write out some stuff. What's important to me? What do I value? What are some goals, some smart goals that I feel like God wants me to set for this year? Lord, I pray for every person that this year would be an incredible year. Not necessarily an easy year, but an incredible year of walking with you, Jesus. And even through the really difficult times, we would know that you're walking with us. Those that are going through difficulty right now, Lord, I pray that you would come close to them. As your word says, that you would draw near to the brokenhearted. And you would save those who are crushed in spirit. I pray for that to happen even more today, Lord. Maybe you'd like somebody to pray for you about something before you go. We'd love to do that. We'll have a ministry team up here at the front. I'm going to dismiss the service in just a moment. But if you'd like to receive prayer, please stick around, come to the front. If you're online, of course, and you want to receive prayer, just click the prayer button. Could everybody stand? And if the ministry team wants to begin to make your way to the front, I want to pray over all of us. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for a new year. I pray, God, that you give all of us hope for what this year is going to bring. And as my friends go their separate ways, God, I pray for each one that you would bless them, that you would keep them, that you would cause your face to shine upon them, you'd be gracious to them. Lift up your favor to each one, God, and give them peace as they go. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Say hi to some people on your way out. Happy New Year. See you soon.